Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Susan Landrum. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 77, verses 1 through 2 and 11 through 20, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and verses 13 through 25. Central Sunday morning service for the 29th of June, 2025, the third Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Holy wisdom, holy word. So I'm going to share something with y'all in the spirit of what I call transparent preaching. I have never preached from one of Paul's letters. There are a few reasons for this, which I think are possible future sermons, so for now I'll just leave it at this. I have been waiting on my own epiphany about Paul. I have been waiting to get a little more comfortable with his words, a little more comfortable with his theology, which is written to specific people in a specific time, or there then. I have been waiting for the push to follow these words right into our now. So, when I was looking to choose my text for this week, I did feel this itch of curiosity, and honestly the recognition that Paul's then and our now have a lot in common. Last month, Martha Moore Kish preached for us on Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. She made plain the revolutionary and radical shift in Paul's vision of the world, from one that was predicated on power and might to one that was ruled by Christ's love and God's communion with us. With a name change from Saul to Paul came an entire reorientation of thought and deed. With a name change from Saul to Paul came an entirely new life. My curiosity about Paul turned from what he wrote to why he wrote. His encounter on that road through Ananias transformed every sense he had and everything that was to come. He was changed, and he knew that change was possible for so many. Paul's faith was in the power of Christ, and as a result, what Christ can do with the power of people. Paul's letters in Scripture are written to the people that are encountering Christ themselves, figuring out how to live according to new rules in harsh places. These letters are not just an early form of community organizing, but a timeless attempt to hold on to what is good and remember what is possible, even when we are scattered and separated from one another. So that's my epiphany about Paul. Just in time for this text in our now. So we turn back to this letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, remembering that the people living in Galatia were considered some of the most reviled enemies of Rome. These siblings in Christ would have been living in one of the harshest, most highly surveilled places. Living a Christian life would have required courage and commitment and community. Paul was worried about his fellow believers. He was worried that they might choose assimilation into Roman laws over the gospel. He was worried that they might forget to look to one another for strength and instead turn to systems of power that were never created for their flourishing. He was worried that the Galatians' ideas of freedom might stray from the freedom that we find in Christ to the freedom we think can be gained or granted through human negotiation. Last week, Kate preached to us on this very letter from a little earlier in the text when Paul reminds us to clothe ourselves in Christ, to choose the community of believers and our shared desire to live out the gospel over any form of socially imposed division. And today, in this text, we hear how Paul defines Christian freedom. I propose that it is key, when hearing this text, to remember that Paul is writing to us as we figure out how to live freely in Christ with one another. This is a text meant for multiple listeners. This is a text that should be heard together in the unity we are called into and the diversity that we faithfully honor. Paul's definition of freedom for and in Christ is not meant to have us look down to ourselves, but instead to have us look around to how we are in relationship with one another. So Paul's understanding of the binary between flesh and spirit is not meant to be interpreted solely through the lens of individual responsibility, which I know can lead down the path of this text being harmful to so many, to women, to LGBTQ siblings, and frankly, anyone who doesn't appear to fit into a very narrow definition of normal. Instead, it is meant to be interpreted through the lens of communal responsibility and mutuality. New Testament scholar Birgitta Kahl offers us this. Spirit, or pneuma in the Greek, is the matrix of freedom. Flesh, or sarx in the Greek, the antagonistic sphere of re-enslavement. The political and the spiritual, the individual and the collective, are inseparably intertwined in this. End quote. So Paul offers a litany of what the works of this flesh look like. He even calls them obvious. Paul continues, "For this is what flesh means, not the physical body and its lusts that all too often are still connected with lower nature, female bodies, and sexuality in particular. Rather, flesh is the ego-driven impulse, the passions and desires of relentless self-promotion and self-interest at the expense of or in disregard to others." So this is what Paul declares, the flesh crucified for those who belong to Christ. Now, before we move past the uncomfortable fleshy parts of this text, I am wondering what some of these works look like in the context of community. What are we turning into idols? When does our work together become impure or fixated on what is and not what could be? How do we keep our dissent from getting in our own way? Can anger ever be worthwhile within our collective work for freedom? While Paul might consider these to be the obvious struggles of the flesh, I can't help but hear these words in our now with more questions than I have answers. Of course, Paul answers his own juxtaposition with the fruit of the Spirit. Interestingly, he does not stress that these are obvious. Instead, he launches right into the list. The order is quite something, with love being listed first and foremost. Pastor and theologian Roger Ginch writes in his book, The Cross Examine, "The fruit of the Spirit is not presented as a random catalog of virtues. It is important to note that when Paul speaks of such fruit, love heads the list. It has pride of place as the foundational fruit of the Spirit, the chief Christian virtue. Perhaps we can think of love as the starting place, the seed that becomes a root that grows into vines and branches of these other virtues. We can remember that love is not a passive emotion that happens to us, but an active commitment to do what is best for our neighbor and for our community, resulting in a love that comes right back to us. The list continues. It stands out to me that these lists are not equal in the sense that Paul gives us many more examples of the works of the flesh. His editing is more succinct with the fruit of the Spirit, beckoning us to learn and remember the list. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each one is worthy of much study and reflection. Each one has a dynamism and layers of expression, especially when we remember two things. The first is that the fruit of the Spirit is what a life in Christ frees us for. And the second is that this life in Christ takes place in community. This past week, I traveled with Guy and Bruno Palmer and our friends from Trinity Presbyterian Church to Western North Carolina. The purpose of our trip was to learn more about a place that we love and to serve the communities affected by and recovering from Hurricane Helene. We spent time in Black Mountain, Swannanoa, and Asheville. We helped clean up two homes most deeply affected by flooding, whose families are still working on digging themselves out of the mud. We took a walk through Asheville with three anti-poverty activists who courageously shared their stories of being unhoused, giving us a very different perspective on a town that we love. We heard from the Black Mountain Counseling Center, whose therapists have been working and continue to work on supporting this community as it processes the trauma of the last year and nears the one-year anniversary. Our own group got to hear from Emily Beaver, the Associate Pastor for Family Ministries at Trinity, who grew up in Black Mountain and has deep familial roots there. She took us on a tour of the area, shedding light on all that has shifted and changed, all that is still being rebuilt or is forever lost to the storm. I had Paul's words coursing through my mind all week as I mentally drafted the sermon amidst the joyful demands of chaperoning a group of curious and energetic youth. And everywhere I turned, I saw the fruit of the Spirit. Love in the way that people were willing to share their stories and trust us with them. Joy in our own group after serving the community, filling dumpsters with unwanted trash and cleaning apartments so families can move in. Peace in the way that families whose homes were almost washed away were able to point out to us what they love most about the trees in the yard or the creek that their child and dog get to play in. Patience in a community committed to its own healing, but understanding that their home is forever changed. Kindness in our Asheville tour guide's habit of stopping mid-sentence to say hello to anyone who passed us and ask them how they were that day. Generosity in the stocked coolers of water and Gatorade and sodas put out for us by the families we were serving at their work sites. Faithfulness in the commitment of the youth we were with to give time and energy to the experience, to jump right in and reflect on this experience every night, despite how tired they were. Gentleness in each person we met who answered our questions with an open heart. And self-control in our group's desire to listen more and to talk less, to figure out ways to bring this experience home, and remember that everywhere we are, communities make up any place we go. A life in Christ frees us to grow in this kind of living, a life defined by love and by grace. And what Paul is reminding the Galatians in his letter is that we can't live this way by ourselves. We can't actually find freedom on our own. We need one another to commit to this very different, Spirit-filled life. I could not have gone on our trip last week and seen and felt and heard all that I did without Bruno and Guy and our Trinity friends. I cannot imagine anyone we met living through this past year without a community of neighbors to support one another. Paul knew that the Galatians, in their then, needed one another. And in our now, we also need one another. When our hope is running low, we can turn to one another for stories of communal love wherever we see it. When our courage to keep working for the freedom that Christ has given us seems hard to grasp, we can look around and source it from right here in this place. When our commitment to our faith feels fragile or like it's competing with other demands of our lives, we can come together and hold ourselves accountable in and through the fruit of the Spirit. In our now, we are up against some very destructive ideas of what freedom looks like. Paul's list of the works of the flesh are on full display in the headlines we wake up to. Choices to roll back human rights, denying access to life-saving health care, decisions to enter and exacerbate war. I know y'all get the picture. And yet these words from Paul remind us that through Christ, we have been freed for a life shaped by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These lives take shape in community, crafted by mutuality and interdependence. Paul reminds us that there is a power beyond our Christian, that there is power beyond in our Christian community. There is power in choosing to live into the baptismal grace of our Savior and our teacher, Jesus. It happened to Paul, so he could tell us about it and remind us of it even in our now. He found new life, and across time and generations, he reminds us that a new life is possible for us and our community too. Friends, freedom is for all of us and made possible through all of us. We are not alone. We are God's beloved, set free in Christ for love. I give thanks for this, and I give thanks for y'all. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.